Tonight, I want us to talk about truth. You know, we all search for truth, don't we? We do not appreciate being lied to. We do not appreciate being told things that are incorrect, either by mistake or deliberately. We always want to know the right thing, know how to do the thing we're trying to do the right way. Has any of you ever tried to put something together and made a mistake in about the middle, and then when you're almost finished, you realize it's not going to work? I don't know if I've told y'all this story or not, but when I was in college, I made my money teaching music, a little side job that I had. My dad helped me to build a music studio in the back of our house, or in the backyard. So we went out and bought one of these very nice, it was a 12-foot by 15-foot metal building. We bought it in the snow. It had come a heavy snow. And so we brought home a building and about a half a truckload full of snow. We got home, and the next day we go out there, and he's out there with his tools, and I'm bringing the bag of nuts and bolts and the little book that gives the instructions on how to do it. I set the bolts down, and I hand Daddy the book. He says, "I don't need this," and he tosses it. We get the first few pieces up all right. It does kind of look like a building. But we didn't get very far till he realized something was wrong, and the pieces were not fitting the way he thought they should fit. So then he says to me, "Go get the book." So we had to go get the book, and when we had the book, we were able to put that building together in fine fashion. But we had to follow the instructions. And believe it or not, any variation from those instructions, that building did not go upright. You have to have the right way of doing anything. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Doing things the right way. As children of God, we need to understand that if we are going to follow Christ, if we are going to be Christians, if we are going to make it to heaven, we are going to have to do things the right way. We're going to have to follow the truth that God has given to us through His book. Now, there are several scriptures that bear this out, of the fact that we need to follow the truth of God's Word. Let's look at two or three of them. Of course, we know all of these. We've heard them time and time again. John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then, of course, John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." We need to understand that God's word is the only truth that we can listen to, that we can adhere to in our lives in order to go to heaven. And as we go through this lesson, we're going to find out just how really true that statement is. Now, what I want to do tonight, I want us to talk about two things. The truth of God's word is the one that's going to get me to heaven. We know that, don't we? These passages above that I just read also tells me that anything else is not going to get me to heaven. I mean, we need to take the Word of God and read it just as it is. Jesus has said, "I am the way." Now, you know what he means when he says, "I am the way"? Nothing else is the way. There are a lot of great men who did a lot of great things to try to bring Christianity to where it needs to be. But in the process of doing so, they made some mistakes along the way and changed God's Word. It is no longer the way, because they altered what Jesus said. "I am the way." No man, no creed, no manual, no thinking, no idea coming from our head can ever take us to heaven. And we need to know that. In fact, Paul tells us that if if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now we can go down to the next verse and we hear the Apostle Paul say that very same thing over and over again, emphasizing the importance of following the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me do this. Let's say that I'm going to make an offer to anyone here in this building who were wearing brown shoes. I don't know if any of you are wearing brown shoes or not. I'm not. But I say that if you're wearing brown shoes, I got a hand going up in the back, y'all. He knows something's coming. If you're wearing brown shoes, and if you will come up to me, and if you will show me your brown shoes, I'm going to give you a $20 bill. Uh-oh, here he comes. Wouldn't you know it would be Wayne Scott? Don't get excited, Wayne. I'm not really going to do that. But let's say that I said this. I'm going to give you $20 if you will show me that you are wearing brown shoes. Now, for the rest of you who are like me, I'm wearing black shoes. And let's say some of you are wearing black shoes. Some of you ladies may be wearing red shoes. Some of you men may be wearing red shoes. I don't know. Let's say that in your black shoes and your red shoes, you're thinking to yourself, well, now, wait a minute. He can't single out brown shoes and give them money. I know I'm wearing black shoes, or I know I'm wearing red shoes, but you know that really doesn't matter. He ought to give me $20 too. Farron's a nice guy, and he wouldn't turn down giving me $20 because I'm not wearing brown shoes. Well, yes, he would, because the rules say brown shoes equal $20. Anything else does not. I want to tell you, my friends, God has laid down a plan for us to follow. And it hasn't anything to do with brown shoes. But it is a plan, it is a guideline, it is a rule, it is a command that we are to follow in our lives. And if we take off that plan and we try to put another plan on, a different color plan, a different idea, whatever it is not the same thing, is it? And God will not accept that. Just like if I tell you brown shoes will get you $20, I'm sorry, you black-shoed people, you ain't getting $20. If I'm going to be true, if I'm going to be real, if I'm going to be honest, I'm going to follow the rules. And that's what God expects of us. He has given us the plan. He expects us to abide by it. He expects us not to deviate from it. He expects us basically to leave it alone. To coin a phrase from our American court system, we are to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that, my friends, eliminates everything else. So what I want to do tonight, I want us to look at a couple of incidents that took place in the Bible where people chose to do something a different way. And let's look at the results of what happened to them. The first one is found back in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. Ahab is the king of Israel. He was a very evil king. He and his wife Jezebel have turned many of the Israelites against God and have introduced to them idolatry. It gets to the point that finally Elijah, God's prophet, comes to Ahab and says, look, it's time we solve this once and for all. We need to find out who God is. If God is the Lord, whom I follow, then the Israelites need to serve him. But if it turns out to be Baal, whom you say, then the Israelites will follow him. So Elijah takes 450 prophets of Baal and takes them to the mountain and puts on a test. And this is the test. Two altars, two bulls. The bulls are to be cut into pieces and laid on the altar. They are to put wood around it. And then the false prophets of Baal are to call upon Baal to consume their altar with fire. And Elijah will call upon God to send down fire from heaven and consume the altar. And which God responds with fire will be the God that the Israelites will serve. So that's exactly what they did. As we see this story unfold, we find the false prophets of Baal. They build their altar. They put the bull on it. They put the wood around the bull. And they begin to pray and to call upon Baal. No response. All day long and into the evening hours, they praise and they call and they cry. No response. Elijah begins to mock them. You need to cry louder. Perhaps he's meditating, or perhaps he's busy, or perhaps he's on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping. Call loudly and try to wake him up. No response. And they leaped around the altar and they cried out loud and they cut themselves with knives so that their bodies were overflowing with their own blood. No response. And then at the end of all of this, Elijah said, "Come near." He repaired the altar that the other prophets had torn apart in their rampage. And he took 12 stones, one representing each tribe of Israel. He built a trench around the altar, big enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He placed the bull on the altar and wood on the sacrifice. And then he took 4 pots of water and poured it on the altar. And then he went and did that a second time. And he did it a third time until there was so much water that it completely filled the trench around the altar. Now, to be sure that you understand what is actually taking place here, he actually put 2 seahs of water on that altar. Now, a seah of water, 2 seahs of water, is 4,300 bushels of water. In today's terminology, 4,300 bushels of water would equal 34,400 gallons of water. 34,400 gallons of water will fill a 20-foot by 40-foot swimming pool 4.5 feet deep. That's how much water Elijah put on that altar. Now it's time to call on the Lord. At the end of the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed that burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. But now wait a minute. Elijah's not through. It says in verse 40, Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Those 450 false prophets of Baal found out what it was like to go up against the truth of God's word. And my friends, if you stand in judgment without God, you better hope this is all he does to you. But it won't be. Listen to me, friends. I hate to tell you this, but we have false prophets in the world today who are trying to do to you just what those 450 men did to those Israelites in that day. They are trying to turn you against God. They are trying to get you to change the word that He has given to you. He is trying to, they're trying to make you see it maybe in a prettier way, a more fashionable way, a more appealing way. And this will be the end result. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And Jesus described these people as wolves that will disguise themselves in sheep's clothing to trick you and to trap you. And my friend, their end will be the same as the 450 false prophets of Baal. And their followers' end will be the same. And for that reason, this was the end. Because they chose something other than the truth. The second thing I want to talk about is that by following something other than the truth, it will cause you to become blind and uprooted. Now, this incident comes from Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Jesus has just finished debating the scribes and the Pharisees about matters of tradition. And we find Jesus doing this a lot because they have done what the 450 false prophets of Baal have done. They have changed God's word. And they've turned it into their traditions. In fact, we can go to Matthew 15. We can go back to verse 7. And we see Jesus calling them hypocrites. And he reminds them something that Isaiah said in verse 8. He said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." But it's verse 13 and 14 that really stops the Pharisees and the scribes dead in their tracks. Listen to it carefully. "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Now, you know, this tells me something. When we stand before God and we have followed something other than God's word, He's not going to listen to us when we say, "Oh, man, that preacher out at Dawson Road, he told me something that wasn't right, and I listened to him, and I followed him." It's not going to matter. The follower gets the same end result as the leader. And we have to be careful. Jesus knew that he was dealing with men who understood the law of Moses. But over a period of time, they had chosen to develop and follow their own traditions and to abide by them rather than the law that had been given to them by God. And Jesus said, "Yeah, you're giving me lip service, but you don't follow my words. Instead, you come up with your own ideas, your own thoughts, your own way of worshiping God, things that you will not find in Scripture, and expect God to like it. Your worship is vain. It is worthless. And you're blind, and you're causing other people to become blind." And my friends, we see it all around us today. We don't have to go far. People who have dedicated their lives to Christ, but have done so with ideas come forth from man. And the end result will be the same, whether you lead or whether you follow. Now, let's talk for just a minute about this end result. We find out about this end result, again, Matthew chapter 7. A few verses down from where Jesus is talking about the wolves in sheep's clothing. This is what I want you to hear, because this is not an easy thing to hear. It comes from verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done these wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, in that entire reading, did you pick up on that one word? The one word that really matters? Here is a group of people who wear the name. Here is a group of people who have shouted, Lord, Lord. They have literally called upon the name of the Lord, as the Apostle Peter told them to do in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. But now they're finding out that calling on the name of the Lord is more than just a verbal thing. There is some action that must take place, and that action is complete. 100% obedience. No changes. They had prophesied. They had cast out demons. They had done many wonderful works. Lord, isn't that enough? No. Because you didn't do it according to my word. You exchanged it for your word, or for the word of someone else. And this goes back to something that goes to the prophet Samuel that he told King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Oh, we could be so elaborate with our worship. We could go to the nth degree with our service. And we could make it a spectacular thing, a very physical, appealing thing. But this is not what God has asked for. And we know that obedience has a flip side. It's called disobedience. Anything that is not obedience, best intentions or not, is disobedience. Good deeds will not take the place of obedience. Traditions will not take the place of obedience. Looking for something spectacular will not replace obedience. We must be sure that we follow to the letter the words of Jesus. So there you have it. Are you following the truth, or are you following something that is false? Child of God, are you living your life in total obedience to the Word of God? We can go through the Scriptures and point out example after example of where man made one small, seemingly insignificant mistake and was destroyed because of it. God expects 100%, and he will not accept anything less. So Christian, tonight, are you giving him 100%? It may be that you're not a Christian at all. It's going to take this whole truth and nothing but the truth to save your soul. And you must obey this truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. in order to receive that salvation. Have you done that? We want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. And to the Christian, we give you an opportunity to correct your life. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.